Yeah, man. Well, I thank you for that. I really appreciate it, and I'm forever always thankful for the fan base here in Pittsburgh, and just for what they've given me over the years. So, you know, it's awesome that I was able to get 300 in a Pirates uniform. Would I have wanted it a lot earlier? Of course, but you know, that's just the way the cookie crumbles sometimes. So, yeah, it's nice to be able to do it. You know, to do it, get it done, and you know, wish I would have been able to do it in Pittsburgh, but you know, just a little bit across the state, and you know, it's nice to be able to get it done and do it here.
That was Andrew McCutchen talking with Dan Zangrilli after yesterday's game about hitting home run number 300. And while he didn't hit it in Pittsburgh, a dad and his 9-year-old son, Pirates fans, were actually able to get that ball, which is super cool. And they didn't hold Kutch over the barrel. They didn't say, Andrew, we need XYZ amount of money. They didn't ask him for anything. They wanted a signed picture maybe with Andrew McCutchen. This is a story from Noah Hiles in the Post-Gazette. It was a really good one. Ultimately, the young 9-year-old was able to walk away with an Andrew McCutchen bat as well.
Awesome.
So class act.
Awesome.
We know that about Kutch. I mean, he's one of the best guys. He makes his home here in Pittsburgh, and finally he gets that monkey off his back and hits home run number 300. Joining us now to discuss is our buddy Neil Walker, brought to you by Keystone Custom Apparel. Check them out for all your custom apparel needs. Now, we are trying something here. If you go on 937thefan.com/live video, you should be able to see Neil Walker's smiling face on FaceTime. Neil, we're sorry to do this to you in the morning. I hope you brushed your teeth. I hope you've done your hair, man. How you doing?
Hang on, boys. Let me. I just hit off of that button, but I'm walking in Central Park right now. It's a beautiful morning here. Let me see if I can get this to work.
I told Callis, my concern here was that the on-air product would suffer. And that the and then that we wouldn't be able to even get it done on the video side, but it sounds like it's working here. All right, so Neil, you're on the call of that yesterday with Brownie. What did it mean personally to you to be on the call when your buddy Andrew does finally hit that milestone home run?
Oh man, yeah, I felt so fortunate to be on the broadcast. I mean, it was obviously a moment that he wanted to get through and have in the rearview mirror. And, you know, for him to get it out of the way was really good for him. I know he feels like he can kind of just move on. But more than that, he's such a special player and person. And I just feel so fortunate that I was the one that was on the TV side to be on the call. It actually made me so nervous because I, you know, they told us, hey, listen, you know, if this does happen, you know, make sure that you're prepared and you're not just blabbing and continuing to just talk through his home run, because nobody wants to have, you know, Neil Walker and Joe Block or Greg Brown or somebody completely talking as you're rounding the bases for home run number 300. So it was the first time in my broadcasting career I was very nervous when that did happen. But trust me, I was standing up and doing my best not to scream and yell and clap.
Neil, it's such an awesome milestone for Andrew McCutchen and, you know, awesome for, you know, fans and his teammates with the Pittsburgh Pirates. But we were talking earlier, I feel like it's significant as well that he wants to be here. Like he chose to come back again this year. That has to be significant to obviously himself, but his teammates as well, knowing that he trusts this team and he expects this team to be pretty good, because, I mean, he could play anywhere and finish his career and hit milestones, but he wants to be here in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and I think that's what makes him so special in regards to this organization. Obviously, he left for a little bit, but you knew that he wanted to come back, and he has his roots here. He's got three kids and or four kids now, and, you know, he's not going anywhere as far as his living situation, and you know, I think he's going to give everything he has to this game and to the Pirates organization, and be living here for a long, long time afterwards. So we're so fortunate as a city and an organization to have a player of this caliber that wants to be around here. And you know, having guys like that in the organization, they too will that their recruitment in itself, just knowing that they, you know, prioritize coming to Pittsburgh and play for the Pirates, that sends a message to other guys that may be on the fence. So You know, you can't speak enough about how special he is and how much he means to the organization.
Neil, very sweaty Neil Walker walking around Central Park right now. If you're watching on 93.7thefan.com, Neil's getting his steps in. He's joining us here. Neil, so Andrew McCutchen's hitting even still 194 on the season. He had a nice game yesterday, did hit the home run. Do you feel like the milestone moment was kind of weighing on him at all?
You know, I can't say that that it for sure was weighing on him, but you know that, you know, given the anytime any of the media would ask questions about it, he would just say, you know, let's talk about this when it happens or afterwards. So, you know, that tells me he was more so just really trying to focus on getting back in the swing of things. And having played with Andrew for a long time, I can tell you when the weather starts to heat up, usually he starts to heat up. I mean, he's got that thin blood coming from Florida, and I don't know if he's necessarily shook that off yet. So I know when the weather turns and we have some nice weather here in New York before we come home, so hopefully that happens too. He's going to get back in the swing of things. I mean, it's just a matter of time. But he looks good. It sounds like he feels pretty good. He didn't get a ton of at-bats in spring training, so I think that might be another reason for the slow start. But make no mistake, he looks the same to me as he has in the past, and that's a good sign for the Pirates.
Neil, is this a better start than last April? You know, they've beaten some quality teams, and they've at least hung around with some quality teams. I mean, that's it for me is, you know, they're competing with teams, and not just the Marlins. I mean, I could see if they played the Marlins, you know, five series in a row and they beat the Marlins more than not, but you know, the Orioles, even the Tigers and now the Phillies, you know, they've hung around and they've either split series or won series against some good quality baseball teams. Are they better now than they were last year at this point?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, yeah, sure. You know, Miami and Washington probably aren't the best barometer for this team, but also playing on the road early in the season, 14 out of the first 19 games is a challenge regardless of your playing. So, That's a sign that these guys are competing and they're going out, and it was a tough series in Philadelphia. It was kind of a mismatch of you know, bad defense. Basically, whichever team played worse defense seemed to lose the games. And so and as players too, you make an emphasis. You think about the season in terms of winning series, right? And you know, whether it's a 2-game series, 3-game series, a 4-game series, you're trying to focus on winning series. So, you know, obviously it's very difficult to win 3 or 4 in any capacity or sweep a team. So you're very focused on trying to win 2 or 3 games, and they've done a good job of that. And they've done a good job on the road so far this season. And they're going to get some home cooking here after they get off this road trip come Wednesday going into the weekend.
Neil Walker joining us here on the Fan Morning Show. Last thing here for you, Neil, and I wouldn't be me if I didn't bring up something negative, and I don't want to nitpick here. An 11-5 baseball team, and Doran asked the question, are they better this year than they were last year? Last year, even though the Pirates started 20-8, they actually started 9-7 before that. But, Neil, are they looking at an inordinate amount of third strikes right now? It is one of the most aggravating things in sports. Why do you think that's happening so much for these guys right now?
Well, I don't know, but I know that you know, two strike approach has been a thing that's kind of changed and evolved over the years, especially toward the end of my career. And for the most part, it's an art that you either have it or you don't. And in today's day and age, where you see more guys putting an emphasis on hitting home runs and really utilizing your three strikes, sometimes you'll see some guessing in those situations. And I don't know if that's what's going on across the board. I do know Zach Wheeler, he had a handful of called third strikes looking, and a couple of them were pitches that maybe weren't on the plate. So, you know, more than anything, you have to have good awareness as a baseball player with two strikes, and just really focus on, if you do get to two strikes and something is close, you at least do your best to foul off the pitch or put it in play or whatever. So, but yeah, if we're gonna nitpick, I will agree with you, Adam. That's the taking the third strikes and the defense needs to be tightened up a little bit.
Neil, appreciate the time, man. Enjoy your walk around Central Park. Looks like a beautiful day.
It is, boys. We'll chat with you next week. All right.
All right, buddy.
Thanks,
that is Neil Walker. It worked. It worked. I'm scared of technology.
Pretty good.
I was doubting Nicholas Arikalas's abilities there to make that go off without a hitch.
And shocking. I made it work.
It looked good. And it Neil, good. I thought you might be catching Neil rolling out of bed or something, and he wouldn't want to do it. We had Hathorn on earlier. He probably was rolling out of bed at 7:35. I don't want to put them in a tough spot, but it worked. Good job, Callis. Credit where credit's due. Who needs a restart? Who do we expect more from? Is brought to you by Restart IT Services. Expect more from your IT service provider. Get more from Restart. Visit callrestart.com. I would say Andrew McCutchen. He's still hitting below that Mendoza line. I am really hoping that home run can push him forward now. And maybe it wasn't something that was weighing on him. Maybe it's more just the lack of spring training at bats, but that ball leaves the ballpark, and I'm just hoping he can be the Andrew McCutchen that he was the beginning half of last season, because that'll go a long way in helping out these Pittsburgh Pirates. Fan Hotlines presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Dan Zangrilli at the bottom of the hour. When we come back, a good thing for the Pirates might come from something bad. We'll tell you what that is next. I just called Erik Karlsson a butthead off the air, which is incredibly childish, but at the same time, I feel like a totally underutilized insult. Stands the test of time.
Did you ever watch Beavis and Butthead?
Of course I did.
I think Ryan Gosling did an SNL skit the other night.
It was wildly popular.
Was it?
Yes. I saw it blow up on social media.
Did you watch it?
No. Oh. Not yet. Conan O'Brien's getting some love lately.
Did you see his wing eating?
Yes, I did.
That video, he was insane during that.
If I was talented, that's my guy. I am a huge Conan O'Brien fan. I used to watch him all the time, even on TBS. I listen to the podcast now. I think he might be the funniest person on the face of the earth. I get that he's not for everyone. Comedy is subjective. But he got a big pump because of that wing-eating thing. And now people who didn't know he was funny before are now starting to realize that. So I've been diving in there. But this SNL thing took off. I don't watch SNL anymore. I think there's a lot more misses than hits, but the things that hit, are just going to wind up on social media, so you can just watch it there.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Marco Gonzalez injured. Forearm strain. You know how I am. If I hear forearm, I'm thinking elbow, and I'm sure they were too. Now, Ben Charrington said on his radio show yesterday that Marco Gonzalez, they're just one of precaution based on his injury history. They're paying him $12.5 million. It's the final year of a 4-year deal. So he's actually, in terms of average annual value, their highest paid pitcher on staff this year. He's also been quite good for them. And we know he's a pretty good pitcher when he's healthy. I hope he's not on the shelf for a long time. If he is, does that mean Paul Skeens takes his spot in the rotation? Doesn't sound like it.
Probably not.
No.
Hasn't been ramped up yet. Enough. I mean, what, three innings? He's been pitched, what,
three innings, 3.1.
3.1.
Well, they bumped him up one-third of an inning, Doran.
Look at that.
I don't think this means Skeens is going to be up quicker. In fact, Ben Charrington mentioned some other options on his radio show yesterday. Quinn Priester was mentioned. He had his worst start so far, his last time out, Priester did, but he still had 8 strikeouts. So he's improved over where he was last year. He's throwing harder. He's an option. Domingo Germán, not an option as of yet, but if it's a long-term injury, you would think that he would be a guy that's going to be considered for that spot. Charrington also mentioned Luis Ortiz or Fleming as guys that were stretched out in spring training and that maybe they could be creative and you could piggyback guys, whatever. It doesn't sound like Skeens is part of that equation right now. And I've been saying for a really long time, man, you can't let the big club affect what you do with Paul Skeens. And it sounds counterintuitive. I know that the Orioles brought up Matt Holliday's son, Jackson. I wanted to call him Matt there. I kind of did.
Billy Joel.
Elton John. You can listen to the Rewind feature, by the way, on your Odyssey app if you have no idea what we're talking about there. We were very dumb earlier on in the show. I thought Elton John was a Beatle. Anyway. Oh, my God. Just because you've got an open hole in the rotation here doesn't mean you rush Paul Skeens. This is a guy who threw 125 innings last year. He pitched once a week. He did not pitch every fifth day. He never pitched every fourth day. Charrington says that's something they'd like to see him do. He's only thrown at max 55 pitches in a game so far, Paul Skeens. Now, if you were going to bring him up, I think you could be creative. If you brought Skeen, just bear with me for a second here. He's throwing 3 1/3 down there, 55 pitches. He could do that here. You'd be taxing your bullpen, and there's the rub. Like, the way I see it is, okay, if you wanted to do that with Skeens, have him come up, throw his 55, 60 pitches, 3 innings or wherever it takes you, and then I'd piggyback Luis Ortiz off of that, and maybe between the two you could get 6 or 7 innings. I don't hate it, but I like their plan they have him on right now. I said get him up by May 1st. I think that's probably a little rich. I'd like to see them get him up before the Super 2 deadline. I think that would be waiting way too long for a team that's in contention. If he stays on this track, I could see him being up mid-May, or you get into the 20th range of May and you could bring him up.
Does it alter, do you think it alters his progression in AAA with the innings because of the injury, though? Like, maybe because of the Gonzalez, say it's a long-term injury and you bring up Priester, right? Does it alter and change or expedite the process of how many innings that Skeens gets now? Because just in case something does happen to somebody else, it would almost be a pressurized situation where you would have to bring him up.
Well, that's, I understand what you're saying. So Marco Gonzalez is one of the guys that they want to come in, that they thought would eat innings for them.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, your innings eater is out, and all of a sudden you'd replace him with a guy that you're being very careful of. Yeah, that, I mean, that makes a ton of sense that that would be a concern. And I do think they're running that risk with Skeens all year long. Like, the bullpen should be the strength of this team. We've talked about it. And I know that Chapman wasn't great the other day, and I know Bednar's blown 3 out of 5 saves, but you expect those guys to be good. I am worried about how much the bullpen's going to have to pitch. Because you're going to be careful with Skeens. Conventional wisdom tells you you're probably going to be careful with Jared Jones, too. They're really working Skeens slowly here. And I actually don't have a problem with it. I don't. I want to. My default setting on Pirates pitching prospects is they're going to screw him up. I think they're doing a really good job with Skeens. I do. I mean, I'd like the next time out for him to pitch 4 innings, and I'd like to get him to 5 quicker than not. But you also are looking dead in the eye, if you're Ben Cherington, at your franchise. At a guy who can come in here and win Cy Youngs. Like, he could win multiple Cy Youngs. He's that good. No one's touching him in AAA. He's got 9 1/3 innings and 19 strikeouts. He's given up zeros.
Oh,
not a single run. He's been incredible. That box has been checked. How's he going to look facing professional hitters? Pretty good. Pretty decent. Doing okay. I don't mind that they're being careful with him, though, because the investment is such an important one for the franchise. Callis, you had something to add?
Yeah, Callis was like shaking his head back there for some reason.
I wasn't shaking my head. I was just looking at you sideways. They got to be careful with Jared Jones, right? They got to make sure that he continues to develop appropriately.
Yeah.
Or they'll take measures to correct that, right?
I just think there's probably going to be an innings cap on him. Not one that's explicitly stated so much as they've talked about Paul Skeens. Like, when Cherington talked yesterday, he talked about there being a finite number of innings on him. I would just think you're going to be careful with Jared Jones, too.
And I think that's an excellent point. You know, be careful with him, you know, let him get a little better than he's been doing. Yes, absolutely.
He's been outstanding. He has a 4 ERA and 25 strikeouts through 3 starts. Only 8 guys in the history of the game have done that. His performance doesn't concern me at all, Jared Jones. What does concern me is he's 6'1" listed. I think he's probably smaller than that. And you just got to be careful. And that's a real concern. Like, we have talked about the legitimacy of this Pirates rotation. And if you're like me and you don't necessarily believe in what they have right now in their starting 5, if you want to include Gonzalez in there, you expect the reinforcements in the way of Skeens. But they're going to have to be careful with him. They're going to have to be careful with Jones. And so while they might have better talent as you move forward in the season, you're also going to have to rely on that bullpen even more than you'd like
to.
Because both guys are your future as well as the present. It's going to be fascinating to see how this goes down the stretch. And I'll tell you, I will kill them at the first chance I can. But I believe in what they're doing with Paul Skeens right now. You can text us 412-928-9370. Brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. We've got Dan Zangrilli joining us next, and I think Dan's really measured on all this with Paul Skeens. So we'll talk to him about when Skeens may be up, what this Marco Gonzalez injury might mean for this Pirates rotation, and we'll have him give his opinion on Jared Jones through 3. Oh my God, massive programming announcement. We'll tell you about it coming up at about 9:50. It's also massive news that we got Dan Zangrilli in here. He of pre- and post-game fame for the Pirates. He joins us right now. We talked a lot earlier about Andrew McCutchen's 300th home run. We don't need to rake over that ground again. But how about this Marco Gonzalez injury, Dan? When I hear forearm, I think, son of a gun, that's not good, especially a guy with his injury history. So what are the worries there with Marco Gonzalez? And then, million-dollar question, what are they going to do to fill that rotation spot?
So I'm concerned about Marco Gonzalez.
Yeah.
Pirates, I don't know how concerned they are internally. I tried to kind of get that yesterday, and they said that they feel that there might be some hope. Getting him back into Pittsburgh ASAP, that's a little bit of a red flag,
yeah.
But it's significant. I don't want to undersell it. You lose a starting pitcher, especially a good one, that can eat innings and be he was fairly consistent as well. That's a big loss.
Real quick on that. So even if you're not in love with Marco Gonzalez putting up zeros or anything like that, you're right. He was a guy that you thought could come in here like Martin Perez and eat innings. This is more for down the road. You've got Jared Jones, who's made three career major league starts. He's built like me, and he's throwing 98 miles an hour. You've got Paul Skenes, and they have an innings limit on him this year. They haven't exactly stated what that number would be, but we know there's going to be a hard innings limit. You're going to upgrade the rotation in terms of the arm, but what might you do to the bullpen down the stretch if two of your five starters you got to treat kind of with kid's gloves?
So it's important what these starters have done these first 16 games. They've consistently been 5-6, sprinkle in a 7, Martin Perez, 8 innings. They've been really good. So the bullpen's in a good spot as we speak, as we sit here today. So that's equity that they're putting in the bank, and that may pay dividends down the stretch, no doubt. But to your point, your question, I mean, you're hoping that, and this is why you sign an Eric Lauer. That's a name that doesn't mean a ton to Pirate fans right now. This is why Domingo Herman is important. Guys that have substantial workloads in their career. And everybody has an innings limit, by the way. You can easily figure it out if you're a fan, because most organizations, they don't go more than 25% from the prior year.
Hmm.
So if a guy throws 100 innings the year prior, he's probably going to throw the following year 125 to maybe 140. All innings aren't created equal. That depends on stress of the inning, number of pitches. You factor it all in, but that's kind of a good guideline for a fan to wonder where that finish line is over the course of a year. So everybody's got innings limits, and that's why you need at least 10 competent starters to make through a big league season. Once you get to that number, if you look throughout the organization and say, hey, do we have 10 guys in our system that can do it, can fake their way through 5 innings?
Brandon Compton.
100%. You're good. You've got a shot. You can make it. And if you're able to keep that staff ERA under 3.5, which the Pirates, they're right around there, you've got more than a shot.
Who's going to be the guy? Say he's out for a long time. And who's the next guy? Well, he's out for a significant amount of time.
Yeah, I mean, I would say a Lauer or a Priester. As far as what this weekend looks like against Boston, Pirates are throwing Perez tonight. They don't have Tuesday and Wednesday figured out yet. So that, and they have an off day Thursday. So they'll try to shuck and jive and move the deck chairs around accordingly. I would probably say, depending on what happens in this Mets series, you'd probably piggyback a Fleming and Ortiz, especially if the Gonzalez paperwork and the imaging comes back kind of sketchy and they don't know what to do. They need to buy themselves more time. So that's what I would think of the short term, long term, Lauer, Priester. And by long term, I'll determine that as 3 to 4 weeks, because next month at this time, I think Paul Skenes would be in the rotation.
Yep.
Do you agree with the way that they're building him up?
Yes, because, again, go back to that 25% rule, number one. Even though he was asked this question, didn't exactly say no and brush it aside, they want Paul Skenes in play in August, September, and who knows, maybe in October. I really do buy into and believe that the every fifth day learning how to get on a professional schedule is real. Everything that Skenes did in minor leagues last year was largely ceremonial. So he's not pitched every fifth day. And that includes, you know, not only the work on game day, but that's what you do day after start. That's how, you know, recovery door, and that is so important. And to be able to do that over the course of 6 months, like, you've got to get in that mode and figure out how your body reacts and what your schedule and routine is, because as athletes, you can attest to this more than any of us. That's so important, and they want to get him in a route. He can come up here today and be the best pitcher on the roster. There's no questioning his ability, or he needs to, you know, work on pronating the changeup and getting that thing arm side, which actually is probably on his checklist, but no, he could come up here, he could have not only success, but he could flourish.
Pronating, he says.
Pronate. Yes.
Pronating changeup.
Have you ever there's like a sublocating thing too.
There's sublocating, and what was the first word?
I don't know.
I already forgot the first word, because the second word is sublake. These are Syracuse words. I can't be having these on the radio show here. All right, last thing for you, Joey Bart. I mean, my God, my guy's got lightning in a bottle or untapped potential that we're now seeing bubble to the surface. I mean, do you keep throwing him out there? Especially because I do think that we saw the first signs of defensive struggle the other day from Henry Davis.
Joey Bart was a second overall pick in 2018, and with the San Francisco Giants, was once considered the heir apparent to Buster Posey. He was hit on the hand a couple of times, kind of like Henry Davis. He missed a bunch of time, and then here comes 2020. Remember Buster Posey during the pandemic just all of a sudden decided, you know what, I'm done. I'm not playing. You could opt out, and very few players did. But Posey, who'd made enough money, and with all those California taxes, right, and they were going to give prorated salaries in the shortened season, he's like, I'm just gonna chill here with my growing family. So then they're like, the Giants are like, what? So they force this guy into big league action, and that sort of didn't have the greatest. You want a pretty good example and a case study of why you take your time and you're judicious in player development. I think Joey Bart's a pretty good example of that. That he was rushed to the big leagues, you put all sorts of pressure on the guy, you labeled him as the next big thing, the next Buster Posey. Giants thought they were going to be set for generations to come with Posey and Bart. Well, obviously it didn't work out that way, and the Pirates traded up in that DFA process to make a trade to get him. So he could just finally be realizing his potential, which there was plenty of that. As a second over, I mean, if we want to talk about Davis being run one, Bart was 1-2.
Dan, good stuff, man.
Great stuff.
Thank you, guys.
Always learning with Dan Zangrilli.
Always. Love it.
What's that word, pronating?
It's what you do with like a changeup or a pitch.
Yeah.
Just sort of
arm side run kind of deal?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, very good.
You're getting it.
All right. Well, at least I'm trying. We've got Social Media's Biggest Loser coming up next, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve your consultation today at awaken180weightloss.com. And now, not just one, we have two massive programming notes for tomorrow's show, Dorn. I'm not even overstating it. I'm very excited about both of these things. We'll tell you what they are. Hang around for that coming up next. Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net.
I saw on one fairway, on a fairway, he wrote something and handed you a note. What was that about?
No, he didn't.
I thought he wrote something and handed you a piece of paper.
No, that didn't happen.
Okay.
Neil, thank you for your time. Good luck. Congratulations on a wonderful week.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you all.
Thank you.
All right, so that's Neil Shipley talking to some Yahoo reporter.
Like, was he trying to, like, get him, like, to just, like, back him into a corner? Like, whoa, that was weird.
I honestly have no idea what happened there. Obviously, this guy who asked the question thought that he saw something. Maybe he did see it. Maybe it didn't happen. Maybe it was a handshake. Who knows? But guess what? We'll find out. Because tomorrow at 9 o'clock right here on 93.7 The Fan, we're going to talk to the low amateur from this weekend's Masters Tournament. That's Neil Shipley. He's going to join the show.
Nice.
Let's go.
That's awesome.
We wanted to get him on today. I talked to him yesterday. I think he had some national stuff he was doing this morning. He said he had to talk to his agent and they had some other things in the works. And hey, if I'm Neil Shipley and I get a chance to go on like Good Morning America or something, I'm probably going to do that.
Oh, yeah.
We're not going to ask that same question, but we'll find a way. We'll find a way to bring that up and see what did happen there. But if you don't know, Neil Shipley from Mount Lebanon went to Central Catholic, goes to JMU for 3 years, then he goes to Ohio State, gets his master's. He was the low amateur in the tournament, and yesterday he was paired up with Eldrick Woods. He got to walk 18 with Tiger, and he outperformed him.
Unreal.
It's an amazing story, so can't wait to talk to him. Wish we could have done it today, but we will talk to Neil Shipley tomorrow. The 50-minute mark on The Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. One more programming note. Massive night for the Penguins tonight. Massive night around the NHL. Penguins need to win two games, and they need some help to get into the playoffs. Tyler Kennedy going to join us for a full hour in studio from 8 o'clock until 9.
Love that. Break that whole game down. Fantastic. First time he'll ever come in, huh?
Yeah, he texted me, where's the studio? I had to tell him where the studio was.
Close to, I think, very close.
I've been putting this off for a while because I'm afraid he's going to beat me up because of my past experience with him.
That's right.
And asking him about his career going downhill.
I'd probably let him.
I'd let him, too.
Yeah.
It was unfair what I did to him before. So, a great show already planned for tomorrow. Neil Shipley at 9 o'clock. Tyler Kennedy reacting to all the Penguin stuff from 8 o'clock until 9. Social media's biggest loser. I didn't find a loser. I got a winner. Did you see the picture of someone was standing behind a tree shaking hands with Tiger Woods, and it looked like Tiger Woods was shaking hands with the tree?
Yeah.
The best tweet I may have ever seen was somebody took a picture of Tiger's car wrecked into a tree, and the news story whenever he was being chased by his ex-wife and she's beating his car with the golf clubs, he wrecks into the tree. It's someone had that picture and then the other picture where it looks like he's shaking hands with the tree and it said Tiger making amends. And it's just, I mean, that full marks, no notes, one of the great tweets of all time.
Oh.
Man, Tiger be wearing that one forever.
Forever.
Forever. Fun show today, Doran.
Yes, sir.
Good stuff, Callis. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 5:40. We got the Joe Show coming up next, and Fan Weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Spring is here, and so are the deals at Sun Chevrolet. SunChevy.com. Today, clear skies, high 74.